Hey, you want that to go?
And the news takeout counter is full this morning. Ibrahim Abdelmateen is here, Takeaway Sports contributor. Good morning, Ibrahim.
Good morning.
And Louise Story, finance and Wall Street reporter for our partner, the New York Times. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning.
So in the end, Lehman Brothers, the investment bank, could not save itself and went down as part of the beginnings of the huge explosions of the financial crisis in the fall of 2008. But boy, did they try to save themselves. And the story of how and what they did is an amazing story of greed and desperation on Wall Street that you and your colleague Eric Dash have uncovered for the Times this morning. Lead us through what Lehman Brothers tried to do to save itself.
So Lehman Brothers was involved in all sorts of borrowing transactions, many of which are normal on Wall Street. And in many ways, the deals that Lehman did are a case study into activities that players on Wall Street still do. But as we were looking at tricky borrowing relationships, which have become of deep interest to the SEC and others in Washington, we stumbled on a relationship that Lehman had with a small firm called Hudson Castle, which appeared to be a much closer relationship than some other relationships that banks have with independent firms.
Now, was Hudson Castle a subsidiary? Was it just a partner? Was it a client?
Hudson Castle was a separate company, but Lehman was the largest shareholder in this company and had a board seat. And Hudson Castle was run by former Lehman workers. Now, what we found, which really opened our eyes to this, was a memo from 2001, which was the point that Lehman decided to invest in Hudson Castle. And this memo lays out just how much control Lehman would have over Hudson Castle and how cozy this relationship was, which was kept hidden and not disclosed. For instance, the memo says that Lehman would serve as the internal and external gatekeeper for all business activities conducted by the firm.
Now, were they trying to use Hudson Castle as a kind of dumping ground for high-risk stuff to protect it, or were they just making an investment in a little company called Hudson Castle?
Well, it was a small investment, but it was only $7 million, but the value of it lied in the relationship that they could use. Now, Hudson Castle has told us that since then, the relationship changed, and it did indeed weaken in 2004. They lost a few boards. Lehman reduced a few board seats, but Lehman remained the largest shareholder, and through the end, this was a very cozy relationship, and one thing that you can look at as a transaction that Lehman did in its final days with Hudson Castle. It was called Fenway. And in this deal, it was this very circular thing where Lehman bought the notes in this vehicle, so it put all the money in, and then the money that was used in this vehicle was used to make a loan to Lehman. So it was this very circular thing. And then Lehman took those notes and pledged them to J.P. Morgan to borrow more money.
So what you're describing here, and this is really an amazing sort of snapshot of what goes on in these days when crisis is happening inside of a bank, is really the shell game where you try to hide your liabilities and front your assets, keep your stock price up, project through the storm that you're actually going to survive. It didn't work for Lehman, though.
It's difficult for us to know the total intent, but you can see this memo on our website. I think the bigger question that this brings up is the shadow banking system. Wall Street in many ways works because of these unknown firms which do not have to make public disclosures but which play a very crucial role in the operations of Wall Street. And, you know, the shadow banking system is not really part of the financial regulatory overhaul we've been talking about. There really aren't many things in there to bring sunlight to this area. But now commissions in Washington are starting to look at this and it may become more of a topic.
Shadow banking system. Incredible story. Louise Story, Wall Street and Finance reporter for our partner in the New York Times. Thanks so much.
And now we turn to our sports contributor, Ibrahim Abdelmateen. So in the news, all over the news, it seems, yesterday and today, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the latest with Ben Roethlisberger.
I'd like to begin by expressing gratitude for the thorough investigation process in Georgia and the prosecutor's decision not to bring charges. I know without a doubt it was the right conclusion.
And we kind of expect him to say that. That's a Big Ben talking about the possibility of charges of sexual assault in a case that involved a 20-year-old college student. As he said there, he's not facing charges. But will he face any disciplinary action from either his team, the Steelers, or from the NFL?
I think this goes down to what happened behind closed doors. What happened behind closed doors in a bathroom in a bar in Georgia where he encountered this young woman, and also what happened behind is going to happen behind closed doors with Roger Goodell, because Roger Goodell is going to bring in the star quarterback. He's won a Super Bowl in 2006 and 2007. He's gotten a bevy of fans all around the country that support him and want him to do well. But I think there's going to have to be some type of disciplinary action, because he's repeatedly come into these incidents where alcohol has played a factor and he hasn't been able to control himself. So I think there's an aura around Ben Roethlisberger, and somehow that needs to be shattered.
And Goodell's not a bathroom attendant here. He's the NFL commissioner, right?
Correct. Yeah. Well, the thing here is that people often point to the fact that, it's one thing. For example, Steelers yesterday traded away Santonio Holmes, troubled. He had two arrests in a month's time. He's been out of the first games because of substance abuse violations. They traded him away. People say, it's one thing when it's a member of the team, but when it's your quarterback that is surrounded by controversy and sort of negativity, that can affect the whole team.
Of course, I think he's setting an example for the entire franchise. And I think the Rooneys, the owners of the Steelers, are very disappointed in him. So are his players and his teammates and the city of Pittsburgh. I think what he has to do is similar to what Tiger Woods has to do. He has to begin to rebuild his image with those fans and with the community around him, because right now all of his actions are morally questionable.
Switching to baseball, Minnesota Twins, a little bit of history from that baseball team.
Well, yeah, of course. They won for the first time in Target Field, their outdoor stadium. The sad thing is that now the memories of Kirby Puckett will fade into the past, but now the new memories of Joe Mauer and Carl Pavano are going to start to ascend.
An outdoor field in Minnesota?
Yeah, that's funny.
Does that seem like a good idea?
November baseball
nice
in Minnesota.
Summer, yeah. Nice in the summer.
Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen is our takeaway sports contributor.